I just keep hoping they don't look at mine.
That's great. Grab that mic.
We've never had a job where they were going to pull that.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Todd, pleasure, everybody. Todd, thank you.
This is the other guy with the other 7 furlong maiden breaker that...
your favorite? No, the Justify story.
Exactly.
The Justify story. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, both you and, I'll tell you, you and Todd, you can always be counted on to come through with big victories. Tenma in the I wish I was there. You know I love being at Los Al for the Starlet.
Yeah, it was exciting to, you know, Los Alamitos, you know, so many great memories from there. I remember coming from Arizona, and, you know, to me, if training in Arizona, if I could get to Los Alamitos, that was a big time for me, and I finally made it there, and actually, I tried one time to go there with my father's horses, and just to mess around with one horse, and it didn't work out, and years later... Brad McKenzie, a friend of mine who went to college, he talked me into coming out there. He says, hey, you know what? I can fix you up. I got the racing secretary. I can get you some stalls. And I had like 40 quarter horses in training. So I picked my 7 best horses, and I brought them out to Los Alamitos. And I remember they put me in the last barn way at the bottom at the end. And I remember running into Blaine Swanevelt, who was the leading trainer, one of the greatest quarter horse trainers ever. And he said, hey, I want to go to have lunch. I said, sure. So we're having lunch. And he told me, you know, Bob, you'd probably make more money if you just leased, you know, there was a shortage of stalls. You know, you could only have, I think,
25 or so.
30. I think only 30, and that was it. And so I said, you make more money just leasing me out your stalls, and you can go back to Arizona. You know? I remember the one night I had 3 horses in, and I had my best 3 horses, and my best mare was in the feature race. So the first one ran 4th, the next one ran like 4th again, and I remember telling Brad, if this filly doesn't win, I said, I'm packing, I'm out of here, I just can't compete out here.
Wow.
Her name was 5 o'clock Rush, and she won out of the one home. And that's what kept me, and I said, all right, and then the winter meet, I went back to Arizona, regrouped, and I came back there in the summer I picked out the best horses that I could take out there because you need the best. And I was still in the last barn in the back, you know, but, and I slowly moved myself up to, you know, maybe 3-4 barns behind Blaine Swanevelt. But, it's funny how I didn't really make any goals for myself, but I always say, like, if this doesn't work, I'm going to give myself 3 years. If it doesn't work in 3, then I'm out. And I gave myself 3 years at Los Al, and I got it going. I did the same thing when I went to, Thoroughbred Racing. I claimed a horse for $32,000. The horse won. He had some issues and wasn't doing well. And
What year was that?
I don't know. I want to see it was 89 or 80. I forget. But I claimed this horse. We're going to go to San Anita for the first time. I'm running a horse. I had the horse at Los Alamitos. Claimed him at Del Mar. And I take my brother Bill, who's sitting next to me here, and Brad McKenzie. We're going to go to San Anita. We're going to get tickets. We were sitting way up far away. It was hard to get in there. It was tough. You know, we were going to big dog it. We showed up with a horse. Horse turns for home. He looked like a sheepdog. He was herding them all in. He was so far back. And runs last. So next time I said, all right, guys, we're going to go. And we same thing. We go over there. He same result. Just last. He just beat so far. And so... the third time I had him in, I said, hey, you guys, we're got the horse in. Are you guys going? Bill said, I can't go. Brad, he bailed on me. I was there by myself. And things were looking muy mal. Things were looking not good. So, but I still have I had a strong quarter horse group. I was still winning races with the quarters. So then I decided that I got to claim a horse. This is not working out because I was going to give myself 3 years. If I couldn't make it in 3 years, I was going to just go back to the quarter horses. And I actually, Bob Bedeker, who's had a tip sheet his family, I said, sure. I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to claim a horse. Could you find me a horse? And he found a horse called President Summit. And Tim Yakteen was working for me at the time. He was just
already at that point. Tim was working for you.
I brought Tim. I had Laura, became Laura Lucas. Laura Pinelli was working for me, and she was running. You know, I was going to Sandy in the mornings. Had, you know, two horses, one horse, and then I claimed President Summit for $50,000. And I told Tim Yakteen, if this horse doesn't work out. I'm gone. And we're down there, and we got the halter, and I'm watching it down. I couldn't get into the box seat areas. You couldn't get into the box seats unless you had a box seat. They wouldn't let me in there. I had to watch from the down in the on the front of,
in the apron.
In the apron. That's where I had to watch the race from. And this horse was coming from Hastings Park, and the horse wins. And you would have thought that we trained the horse. We were high-fiving each other. We went down there. I wanted to get in the winner's circle picture. I couldn't wait, you know, to get the claim tag, and I was the only one. And I remember walking back. We followed the horse all the way to the test barn, and that little horse there came back and won on the jump up, and that's what kept me there. I needed something like that to get me started, and so and just everything builds up.
That story, those stories on both on the quarter horse and the thoroughbred side, I got to sit with Scotty Schillhofer at one of those Florida dinners that Bill Hirsch and Mary Ryan have. And Scotty told the exact same story. Their son Randy was a baby, and Scotty was struggling. You know, he'd come up from South Carolina, and McDermott came along and won 7 straight and stakes and because he was ready to pack it up and go back to the jump horses and whatnot. And same kind of story where if this horse, you know, doesn't win, we're going home.
But it was long drink between races, believe me. But what's kept me going is I still had the quarter horses, and I was winning. I was, you know, had top quarter horses. Because I was winning, luckily, once every 6 months, a thoroughbred race, if I got lucky. And it was tough, and I had Mike Pegram behind me. I had Hal Earnhardt, who was been with me, my oldest client, since 1983. Still in it, you know, Indian Charlie, but he had some nice quarter horses. But to me, I never forget where I came from. You know, I just always appreciate, you know, things. I look back, man, I've come a long ways. Because I never had a goal or a plan. It fell into place. And Brother Bill, who, he trained quarter horses for a minute, and he trained the winningest quarter horse ever, Mark T. Bars. It was a quarter horse. But then he gave it up. He didn't want it. And I had another brother that was PA. He was thinking about it, but they want their weekends off. You know, we want to set Saturday and Sunday off, you know? I don't want to work on a weekend.
Right? 7 days a week?
Yeah. That's no good.
364 days a year?
Exactly. So, I'm out, you know? And so, but that's the thing. But you have to, you know, if you could, once you get the bug, you're horse crazy, you're stuck.
You're finished.
You mentioned, you grew up, 50 miles south of here?
Nogales.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's
grew up on a ranch and, you know, with livestock. So I've been around livestock since I was just a little boy. So I've seen everything that can happen. We've had cows. We had a chicken business. We had eggs, local eggs in town. I went through 4-H. A lot of people don't know what that is. It's an agricultural club. And we used to have a fair, county fair.
Sure.
And we used to I showed a sheep, I showed steers. Bill was, he killed it with it. He was really good.
Ribbons, a lot of blue ribbons?
Oh, he killed it. He was really good. And so Bill, what he did, he won this thing, what was it, judging or, I don't know, Bill always excelled at everything. He was always a smarter brother. So, and so he earned a trip, he won a trip to Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, to go to visit all the farms in Kentucky. And he went there, and when he came back, he brought a Blood Horse magazine with him.
I went to see Nashua.
Here.
Did you really?
Yeah, I went to see about that trip. So it was the showmanship, Angus Showmanship, National Showmanship Contest, and they headed Lexington. So they gave us the opportunity to go see some farms, and I wanted to go see Nashua. And I'll never forget, you know, Nashua there with the groom.
Why Nashua?
I don't know.
He was a star.
He was the horse. And I was like 15, 16 years old. And the thing that I remember most about the horse was the groom. This guy, he lived with the horse. He was, when you went to see him, the groom had a chair and he was sitting right next to the horse at all times. Anyway, that was why we went to Kentucky.
I love it.
So he comes back and he brings all these magazines with your blood horse and I don't know what other. So my father sees this and, man, this is cool. Look at this Thoroughbred magazine. So right away, he
subscribed
to it. And when you would subscribe to the blood horse, you would get a picture, a little portrait of the Derby winner of that year.
Yeah, we come.
They would send you that. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And he framed it. And I think it was, what was it, Kauai King was one of
66,
them.
66, Kauai King.
Kauai King, and I remember it was right by, in our kitchen, and I'd see him, and he had his equipment, and I'd always, every day he had to walk by Kauai King, you know? And so I thought, man, that's the first thoroughbred I ever knew about, right? So, Nashua, you know? Nashua was on the cover, I think, of that day. So, but that's how I started reading about thoroughbreds. You'd get the magazine. Weekly. Was it weekly or month? I don't know what it was.
No, it was weekly.
It was weekly.
Then. It was weekly, and it was thick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and so.
And I had the records of all everybody's performances and, all the winners. Save them all.
Like National Geographic, you pile them up, right?
Yeah, and so I started reading those and really got into reading about thoroughbred breeding and, but had no idea. I never thought of, I mean, to me, thoroughbred racing was like, oh, that's like higher echelon, you know, sport of the kings. That's for rich folk, you know? And so I used to read and I'd see these Mahmood, and we'd sit around with these horsemen. They talk about all this, you know, trying to look for speed to put into the quarter horses. Because quarter horses, the only three bars was an old thoroughbred that they started breeding these little quarter horse mares to. And so, so all the sons of three bars who actually ended up here in Arizona. Huh? Lightning bar and three bar, anything with three bars in it was that Mark T. Bars. I don't know who's he by. I forget the. But there's this family, Allred Brothers, and they would just kick. They ruled, man. They bred good horses.
Related to Doc?
No.
No. Different family.
They were from Mesa. They owned all this farm. There were farmers and in Mesa. And but they raised really top quarter horses, and we tried to raise quarter horses, and they would just every time we went up against them, they just destroyed us. I remember when I was trying to be a jockey.
Yeah.
I was in the stake. I was in Safford, Arizona. I'll never forget. I'm in the one hole. Mark T. Bars, who's the big horse, he's in like in the seven hole, and I was riding a horse called Sir Bar N. Bob. I'll never forget that. And next to me was another nice horse. So I remember braking, we're going 400 yards. We break, and this horse has got, the horse next to me has got about a neck on me. And I'm riding, I'm coming down, and all of a sudden we come up to the wire. I look up, it's this little stake. And I look up, and I'm in front. And I hit the wire, and I thought, I won the stake. And I stand up, and I'm like raising my stick. And I look up, and there's a horse five lengths in front of me. Mark T. Bars. I go, oh, man. How did he get out? I never saw him, you know. But it was an unbelievable racehorse, you know. But it was fun. You know, the fairs circuit, you learn so much about racing, you know, and the characters. You know, learn from these old-timers. I used to listen to their stories. I love listening to their stories. And a lot of them knew about thoroughbreds back in the day. About these horses, you know, I remember a horse like the Pie King and the this, and, you know, people knew a lot of things about thoroughbreds, but I really didn't, you know, I want to know about quarter horses. I was just really into the quarter horses.
And the fair circuit here was big with Sorista and Globe and Yuma, and I mean, it was a real circuit down
here. So Sonoida, that's where we grew up. Sonoida, Arizona, it's like an hour from here on the dusty old you know, had a little fairground. And that's where we used to go for 4-H. We had our 4-H fairs, and we had, you know, we'd show our cattle. Bill would win all the cattle things. You just couldn't beat Bill. And so then, you know, the only blue ribbon I got, I cooked some banana nut bread. I got a blue ribbon. That was my kind of thing, you know. That was it.
That was the backup.
I killed it.
You could have been a cook if it didn't work.
Yes. Oh my God, that's hysterical.
But that's where, you know, we, and my father and my uncle, they started a fraternity there, where, you know, a quarter horse fraternity. So it was the first Saturday in May. That was our Kentucky Derby. Go to Sonoyta for the races. It'd be packed. Everybody from town. It was fun, and it was like, and so and we started the fraternity, but the fraternity was so tough because the Allred brothers and the Sonoyta, the first year they had it, it was like, I want to say it was a $20,000 eight horse in the trial. First time I saw Wayne Lucas, he pulls in there with this shiny trailer, sparkling D. Wayne Lucas, brought in these heavyweight horses from Sunland Park. He came in from Sunland Park, and he, first time I saw him, and I'm looking at him, and just his operation, I thought, wow, man, if I want to be that guy right there. I want to be that guy. He came in there, pure, just took it all, and he smoked them, and he just got out of there, right? So years later, we always wanted to have a horse in it. We just didn't have a horse good enough. So when I finally got going in the quarter horse business, I'm at Bay Meadows, and I have these nice two-year-olds, and I thought, you know what? I've got a nice two-year-old. So I want to tell these people, I want to take it down to the Sonoyta, Arizona. They have this fraternity down there. And I said, you know what? We're not nominated, but there's a... It's 5,000 late nomination. I'm willing to pay it and split it with you guys. Oh, fine. That's good. You know, whatever. So I took her down there, ran her into trial, put her my father's name. And I said, Dad, I'm leaving here. I have to go back to Los Alamitos. We have a hot walking machine there from the days. Put her in the walking machine. Just walk her every day. Feed her, take her. You take her up there and you run her. And don't worry about it. She'll be fine. She qualified about fifth fastest qualifying time. Well, I wish I'd been there, but it was open in Los Alamitos, and sure enough, he wins the race. And in those days, we didn't have the phones. So I had to wait for my mother to call me from across the street from a payphone out in Sonoyta, Arizona. The only thing out there is a gas station, the steakhouse, and the fairground. That's all that's out there. The gas station. You know? And so she called me. I'll never forget. She was so excited. Oh, we won it. Your dad. I mean, now, you know, and so...
what was the horse's name?
It's the girl that worked for me, Holly Golightly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I actually had an assistant named Holly Golightly.
Really?
And so then I sent back another colt. Another colt, and I sent him back there. He qualified, and I had to leave again. That same thing. He wins it. And who does he beat? My mother calls me up. Oh, we won it. I said, your dad, oh, my God. And they're cooling out one of the Allred brothers, they were the heavy favorite, and he's complaining, oh, we had the one hole, we, you know, killed it, you were on the outside, and they're just complaining. Finally, your dad, he couldn't help it. He says, hey, Jerry, you don't think that time of 1776 had to do with it? Like, he ran really fast, and he got quiet. He said, oh, you love that. He finally, hey, we got, I said, and it made, I was so proud of him, because he's the one, without him, I would have never gotten into business. For his love for animals got us into business. So to me, that was his moment.
Right.
That he beat the Allred brothers, you know, he took him down.
That's great.
And after that, I said, we don't need to go back to Sonoyta anymore, you know, but it was great, you know, great life experiences. And we were very fortunate to grow up on a ranch out in the country. And and that's where, you know, you learn about animals and how they think and being around all kinds.
And Bill's trip to Lexington, figuring in, that's like the little kernel of
That was actually a very, because I remember it was Kawhi King and then Majestic Prince.
Yeah.
Majestic Prince, he was Kawhi King and Majestic Prince, and those little pictures. And so that really got my father, it got him interested. And then that's when he decided, you know what, I'm going to get a horse. And he got quarter horses and little mares there. Local mares started to breed the local stallions, and that's when we got involved.
I'll interject a story from this summer. That method and that reality is still true even today. There's a father and son from the Carolinas. I've told this once already. They've been watching the Fox show from New York, and they were watching, and they were enjoying it. They had no ties to the thoroughbred racing. They'd been to a derby, but they saw Amos. They pick up a phone. Amos gets a call. You know, we watched the show, and it's really, we want to get involved. Would you help us buy a horse? They go to Keeneland. They spent like $5 million, and they bought a half a dozen horses. Amos bought. And these are people that just saw the game and took an interest. And so it's still happening.
No, it's happened to me. I mean, I picked up clients. They went to the Derby, and they said, how do I get involved?
It's great. It's so infectious. And you know, frankly, we can use that as a launching point to, you know, talk about some of the horses for this season. You got a feel after Barnes's win, and you had to really work at it, but you've got a feel kind of reinvigorated, no? I mean, to come back and some derbies.
It's nice when everything works out, and, you know, it was, you know, I went through a challenging time there, and but it's so nice to be able to look in the rearview mirror and just put it behind me and, you know, focus on what's in front of you. And you know, we have a nice, you know, group of horses, and I actually tried to enter another horse in a maiden race a couple of weeks before, but he didn't get in. So then I sent the papers in, and we were going to make a trip. We went to my, you know, Bodie goes to school in Fort Worth, so they were playing U of A. So all my brothers and sisters, we went to the Fort Worth, Arizona game, had a blast. You know, there was only three of us wearing TCU shirts on, Bodie and Jill and I, my wife. And so, but we had a great time, got together. And then we went to Tennessee to see, spend Thanksgiving with Jill's family. And I thought, you know, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to enter a horse in a maiden race. And so he gets in, we drive up there, and it was a great, great being there. I couldn't believe the changes that have been made since I've been there.
How about that, Pat? I was there a couple of weeks ago. They did a great job.
And so going through all that, it was just, you know, really warm, welcoming, and it was nice to be there. And then I was standing next to Wayne Lucas during the whole race. And it looks like he's going to win. I said, hey, Wayne, I think you're going to get it. Oh. And all of a sudden, the end, it was like, I said, I don't know, Wayne. He says, nah, you got it. And I go, I don't know. I was really hoping for a dead heat. I told him, I'll split it with you. I don't care.
That would have been cool.
I'll split it with you. I don't care. You know, I'm just glad, you know, he ran well and they ran fast. And so it was really nice. And then we drove back to Tennessee and we stop to get gas. I've never heard of Buc-ee's. Have you ever been to Buc-ee's?
Yeah, baby.
You went to the Buc-ee's
north
of Kentucky Downs.
Crazy. That's a new one. That's a new one.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Did you watch the display in the middle when they're making the chopped sandwiches?
We loaded up, hit the road.
Right.
Unbelievable. Buc-ee's, man.
The brisket. Did you have the brisket?
I had the brisket, yeah.
You're waiting in line for
those brisket. It's crazy. What a
jerky.
I bought jerky there for my brother-in-law. He says, get the teriyaki jerky.
You can not walk in there without buying something.
Oh yeah.
So, unbelievable. Yeah. What an experience. So that's how we celebrate our win. We went to the Buc-ee's.
It's like Sunny Hyde.
You know what? You should pitch them on selling the Bob Baffert banana nut bread.
Banana
from Buc-ee's.
Everything is Buc-ee's
Yeah.
Products. Everything's Bucky.
That's true.
In fact, when I flew out here, guess what? I have, Gina got me a Bucky's.
I saw that.
Bucky's
the neck press.
Bucky's pillow for the Air Force.
Oh, wait, I've never made another banana nut bread since I did it. That was it. I killed it with a banana nut bread.
And I'm going to quiz you. Tell everybody what, as I'm sure you remember, what do the 4-H's stand for?
The 4-H?
Yeah.
Now you put me on the spot. I've forgotten what it stands
for. Head, heart.
All I know is when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, I was put into the 4-H Hall of Fame.
How about that?
How about that?
That is great.
That's pretty good.
It was a big deal. Went to Washington, D.C.
That's very cool.
Oh, yeah. Went in there, and while we were there, we actually stayed at the Trump Hotel. That's when it was the Trump Hotel. We stayed there. And they went, my brother Brill was there with his wife, and Jill and Bodie had flown. I had to fly in later on. I had to work some horses that day or something. And we flew in there, and I was in there. I find there's this guy comes up to me. He says, "Hey, Bob, he did something with Vice President Pence. He was one of his, I don't know, worked for him, yeah. I forget. And he owns some mares at Lane's End Farm. And he said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" I'm told I'm here for this 4-H. I said, "Hey, if you need anything," he says, "Yeah, you think you can get us in a little White House tour?" He said, "Yeah, just give me all your information." So the next morning we went to have breakfast at 9 o'clock in this little kitchen at the White House where everybody has unbelievable, and you know, the Prince or the President, they weren't there. Nobody was there. And we, I'll tell you about, we went to the White House tour.
What?
We went for breakfast for the 4-H White House tour. I got my brother Bill back here. And it was unbelievable. We got the tour of the, had breakfast at the White House and.
Nice.
In the executive dining room.
The executive dining room, sure.
Yeah,
sure, sure, sure. Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
West Wing.
You never mentioned this.
It's the Navy. Okay, so the Navy, one of the presidents in the back, I'm not a historian, but a president, one of the former presidents back in the day, had the best meal ever on a Navy ship. So he made the Navy be the chefs for the executive wing of the White House.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable because you sit there and it's like...
You order off a menu or you?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll take
it. A name for it. They have a name.
The mess hall. It's a mess. They call it the mess. You know, the mess. Yeah. The mess. And they have the plates of the presidential plates behind you, stacked up.
Very
it's
cool.
Just, it's beautiful. And Bobby is trying to steal the silverware. I said, "No, you can't take that, Bob. You gotta leave that stuff."
But I mean, and we got a whole tour. And Huckabee, she was the governor. Huckabee. Now that she's governor now, she was there. She was. So she was the.
Well, you know that Barbara Banky is very close to Pence. She's been.
Well, the Trouts are very close to
the Trouts, too.
Yeah, Kenny and Lisa Trout. So we're in there, and so. Huckabee was in there. She found out she wanted to meet us, and there was a little girl that worked and was from Lexington, and we went in there, and I said, "How do you go out there? How do you prepare yourself to go out there and just take all these?" And she's the sweetest, nicest, she's funny, and I mean, do you bang your head against the wall before you go out there?
Well, she was a press secretary.
Yeah, press secretary, and she was like, but she was good. She'd get out there and just, you know, you barrage of. Just be ready, but she said, you know, they practice a little bit,
right.
Like what they think, but sweetest, nicest, you know,
really.
But man, she knew how to turn it on. She knows her stuff. I mean, just
you better have to be. You had to be
tough,
right?
Man, just tough. If I got out there, I'd be like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. You know.
Right here,
you're dumb. Yeah, you know. I was like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
No more impromptu press conferences.
Yeah,
for you.
No teleprompter.
Right. You've done your last impromptu. Those days are over. Yeah. You know, I don't. Did we talk after Breeders' Cup? Did we talk about Citizen Bowl? And yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
He finally calls me every 6 months.
That's
you know?
Not true.
No. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Nobody else answers their phone. That I get the call.
That's true.
You get the Monday morning call. So when we first met, both you guys was at Monmouth Park.
Monmouth Park, yeah.
And the first horse we got him to come back was to run in the Haskell, Annette.
Oh, wow.
Can't catch him with a net.
Yeah. Can't catch him with the net.
It was so much fun.
We went to the concert. We went all over. Yeah, then Touch Gold.
Touch Gold was in the race. It was Freehouse.
Freehouse was in the
Freehouse
race.
Freehouse, Annette. Who won it? We didn't
Touch
win it.
Gold
we ran
it.
Second.
Touch Gold won it. Touch Gold won it. And then we had, that was the first year that we made the Pegasus, that when it was run at the Meadowlands, it was a great one. We made that a million. That was like a big thing. We had four horses in there. You came up with a net for that.
So actually, we get there, and it used to be the Bob and Bill show. We entertain everybody, so Bill gets there.
That was his favorite horse.
Annette.
Yeah. Who's
Annette's horse? Don Disney.
Don Disney.
That was my favorite horse.
Here.
The horse, when he passed, he was in Don Disney's arms.
Really?
Annette.
Down in Florida?
At
his farm.
He passed in his arm. He loved that horse. I love that horse, too. I still have a picture of him.
Gary Stevens rode him, I remember, because I have a picture.
So we get there, and we're walking around. So Paco Gonzalez has Freehouse. So everybody thinks that Bill is Paco Gonzalez. So he was signing autographs. Paco here. So do your Paco impression.
It's a pleasure for me to sign for you, my friends. Let me say, but Paco Gonzalez, your Freehouse is a wonderful horse. Let me sign that for you, Jess. Jess, you are very welcome.
Yes, and everybody, they thought they do look alike a little bit, you know. So, but we had had a good time with it, and I've got to enjoy the best part of racing. I got to enjoy it with my parents while they were still alive, and unfortunately, they weren't there for the Triple Crown. That would have been really, really cool because that was something. That's why I got so emotional there because. They weren't there for him.
And your dad was also the chief.
The chief. He was the chief. Right. He was like, and he would watch a race. He wouldn't say anything to me. He'd watch his races, and he would tell Brother Bill, "Hey, tell Bob, tell him the jockeys that they're too much warm up. He's wearing the horses out." He was right. I said, "You know what? I think they're doing too much." You know, a lot of times you see these guys. You know,
from the pony.
Yeah, get away, and they go down to the. I said, you know, man, that's got a not a whole lot there left, you know. But it's, you know, these horses aren't going to come out. They're not like quarter horses. They're going to come out bucking, you know, if they're too fresh. But you know, it's good to warm them up. But you know, a lot of them do it. You know, they think that you know that if they do that. You know, it empties the spleen and all this stuff. But some of these big races, they'll ask me. Can I take the horse away from the pony? I says, no. I said, why not? Because I don't want you falling off in the warm-up. That's why. This is a big race. You know, I can't take that chance. You know, and we saw it happen this year. Remember at the Gulfstream Park, Todd had a really good... Remember that horse took off, went straight away from the pony, ran into the fence and scratched?
Oh, that's before the crazy fountain of youth.
Yeah.
It was down to four horses.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah, remember that? So you always worry about that could happen, you know? And so so many things can happen. And so why not just eliminate, you know? And so, you know, sometimes I'll let them, if I know the horse has a pretty good mind, especially if you're at home or they're used to the, but if they're not used to it, like for the Breeders' Cup, they ask me, can I take him away from the pony? Don't you dare, you know? No.
We mentioned yesterday, in fact, we were going over some of the results and to bring up Tenma for a minute. And this sort of speaks to just, you know, the way in which you approach your decision making. Because you said, because you and I, ahead of Breeders' Cup, we talked about, and you said a month before that Tenma wasn't going to, you were going to bypass the juvenile fillies with her because you thought she... You weren't happy with the way she was coming toward the race, and it pays off with a Starlet win.
Yeah, I mean, she ran really well. She won the debutante. I got her back up to Santa Anita, and Santa Anita is a different surface. It's deep, loose. And she just, I think it took something out of her, and she was just, she just wasn't training well. She ran third in the Oak Leaf, but I didn't like the way she ran. I wasn't happy with it, so we're going to skip the. But if the Breeders' Cup would have been last week, I would have run her in, because then all of a sudden, you know, you back off a little bit, got her right again, and she ran a beautiful race the other day. I mean, really. That last 100 yards.
Well, you know, you're always quoted saying, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to watch the horse work, and then I'll tell you. And it used to be frustrating, you know, to me, which one's you running at Santa Anita? Which one? Well, I'm not sure yet. But it wasn't a BS answer. You like to see that last breeze before you make the final plan. And I used to think it was just a, you know, get out of here type of thing. And then I realized, no, he's really doing that.
And so, it's hard to tell a client, here you just won a debutante, you ran third, you're going to be one of the five top horses, and you tell them, we're not going to run. I said, if I run her, she's not going to run well, and you're going to be upset. I said, she's a nice filly, let's give her some time, she's not ready for it. And there she ran the other day, and boom, I knew she was just going to run a big race, you know. And so that last 100 yards, she just figured it out, she just clicked on, and so now we can, you know, sit back, you know, hopefully, you know, keep her healthy and, you know, try to make the Oaks if everything goes well.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the year when we asked, and you said you thought maybe the fillies that you had in the barn were a little bit more advanced than the Colts.
My fillies were actually more advanced than the Colts. You know, I had Noonie. Noonie, I think she's really fast. I was trying it, but she didn't have a lot of confidence mentally. And she won that grade three, but I'm going to just back off on her, freshen her up, keep her one turn for now. We tried to grade her the other day. That didn't work out. That was just a mess. But, so, you know, it takes a while. You got to find out how they really want to run. We found out the hard way with Point Given. We didn't find out how he wanted to run until the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
And then, oh, okay, now we know what he wants to do. You know, so that's the thing. That's why you need races into them, you know, to find out what they want to do and what they don't want to do.
Where are you with the older horse, you know, with the soon-to-be four-year-olds and looking toward things like Pegasus and maybe
Malibu.
Saudi and Malibu, of course.
Well, my older division sort of got, you know, they all got retired, yeah. And they're stallions, and so we got some, you know, I was a little bit disappointed in the Miramati. I really thought he'd run well.
Everyone's disappointed in Miramati.
Miramati, I tell you what, Miramati, that's a lot of pressure. That
horse
carries so much weight. But to his, you know, he's a horse that needs to be out there, and he was trained so well for that. And when he drew the one hole, I was worried about that, because a lot of horses don't break well from the inside of Del Mar. I don't know what it is, but but when he wasn't there and not on the lead and he had it was over for him.
That was the native diver.
Yes, and it was just so disappointing. But he's come back, worked well, and I had that other horse in there, and I thought he'd run better.
Ultra Power.
Yeah, the Ultra Power. You know, Unique Bella's son, and he's a big horse that we've taken our time, and he's. He came back and after that race, now he looks like the lights. He ran a huge race. The day that he won, if I would have run him in the Pacific Classic, he would have won it that day, the way he ran. He ran 105 miles. He ran, and I think it was too much, you know, and I backed off him a little bit. But now I think he's getting back into form and the way he breathes this last weekend. I think Ultra Power could be a, you know, something that you'll hear down the road. And but you know, it's right now. For the Pegasus, I can't really tell you.
Got to see the last work.
Fort Bragg.
I think Fort Bragg one turn. I think one turn with him. I think he really came back around again. It, you know, he was really good. And they go up and down. So we, you know, when you you're able to have patience with these horses. You have the clientele to, you know, have the patience. And so I see him going one turn.
You had a couple, let me ask about a couple of recent maiden breakers, because Hellone and New King, in fact, New King was just the other day.
Yeah, he ran a great race. I think the horse ran second, Tave.
Yep.
He ran right. well, right. and took a while to get him going to the races, but New King looked really well. I mean, he ran like a professional, but he had a couple outs, had a little. So I see him moving forward off of that, so it looks like he's going to like the two turns. It's amazing. The Into Mischief, Distorted Humor cross is unbelievable. Citizen Bull. I mean, all these, you know, it's just crazy how they... Distorted Humor, I remember beating him with Is It In Good at Keeneland.
Yeah.
And to think that here he is, this great sire, you know, but...
That's how Elliot trained him, right?
Yeah, Elliot trained him, yeah.
Romanesque?
Romanesque. I'll probably run him on the San Vicente. You know what? That's at 7/8, one turn.
So you had, who else? you got a horse you named Tubar. That, right? Is that?
Yeah, Tubar, that belongs to Helen. We bought her. She's looking at Lucky. She's actually, we tried her out there. She's just not going to compete. She's owned by Haller and Hart, so she's a Turf Paradise now.
Who? Let me ask you a question now. Anybody for the Malibu this year? You got to have a couple, right?
The Malibu?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to see their last works, you know, how they're doing. I have a horse called Pilot Commander, who's really nice. He's a good horse. I have Imagination, the horse that... ran into Preakness, and that's the horse that poor Frank was calling the wrong horse. It was Prince of Monaco, but he thought it was Imagination. He goes, I can't get him out of my head. And so, hopefully, you know, he's doing well. He's a horse that I've been waiting him to, he's getting there slowly. Yeah. Some horses, it just takes him a while.
Casaloo,
she's been running better on the turf, and so I'm going to keep her on the turf for now.
Very nice. There's a whole bunch at Madigan Road.
Madigan Road. He was the one I had entered at Churchill Downs.
Oh, that was.
And he didn't get in, you know. And it actually turned out to be one thing about Churchill Downs, with probably the best horses are at Churchill. I mean, they're. Those purses they're running for, that's not easy.
It's
might have full fields, but they can run, you know, and all the... I ended up... He didn't get in, so I ran him in a stake race. He ran second. He ran a big race in the... was it the Bob Hope?
Yes. The horse... We were in the paddock at Breeders' Cup Day. The horse that flipped... and almost got loose in the paddock.
Oh, the mare, yeah. What? Yeah, we retired her after that. She hurt her her withers when she did that.
Oh,
I've never had one do that.
That was scary.
That was scary.
That could have been very scary. I think Michael stepped up, right? Michael McCarthy stepped up and got her to.
No, I was talking to Garrett O'Rourke, and I was meeting the prince showing up, and I'm talking to him. I hear this commotion, and I see a horse go by without a rider, and I go, "Oh, that's not good."
I told him to stay with the pony. That's not good.
Excuse me, prince. I gotta go check this out. And she did. She really. I mean, she was gonna need, you know, like 4 or 5 months off if we decided just to retire. So.
A couple weeks ago, I was in Kentucky, and I sent you a little video of one of your all-time favorite horses at Old Friends.
Yeah, Silver Charm.
And
I can't believe that horse. He's like, Georgia Bulldogs are like Silver Charm. They just refuse to lose. They
right?
will not lose. They find the way to win. I'm telling you, it's crazy. And I love that horse. He was so tough. And he just, when a horse would come up to him, I always felt good. If he was there, he's not going to let you get by. He was tough.
He was like a people source. Everybody Yeah. I mean, he ran up against.
Well, I mean, you know,
you had Paco here was running against him.
We had Paco. We had everybody.
That
Derby, his first Derby win, and for him to come up in that horse on the outside.
Well, first Derby win, but you're still convinced that Cavanier won.
I was sure Cavanier won. I was sure.
I love bringing that
up. That would have screwed your whole career. That was the best thing that ever happened to you.
And I'm telling you what, that's the only thing that came out of somebody asked me, well, how's it feel? I said, I know what it feels like to win the Derby. For 4 minutes, I knew I won the Derby.
Where Lucas goes,
I thought I had won the Kentucky Derby. But then I saw Bob Baffert's sister yelling, "We won the Kentucky Derby! We won the Kentucky Derby!"
Yeah, his wife put the super jinx on that thing. You know? And I didn't move. I stayed in my box. I didn't move. I stayed in the box. I was watching. And you know what? It's funny when I have these photos. You turn around, you start acting, you asking strangers you don't know, hey, what do you think?
Yeah,
you, yeah, you start pulling the whole fan.
Shirt,
yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? You know, I go, oh, Bob, I think you got it. You know? I don't know, Bob, that's pretty close. You know, but, and then all of a sudden that number came up, and I start walking down there, and I'm going down there, and it's W.D.T. Young. He stayed in his box. He didn't move either. So he goes down, and I start seeing him. And I've been read about W.T. Young. And he was a SAE. I was an SAE at Tucson. He was an SAE in Lexington.
Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Sigma Alpha Epsilon. So I go down there.
You get the handshake.
Huh?
Get out of here.
Yeah, so that's the first time I knew. Yeah.
So I go down there. I see him going down there.
That's wild.
So this is Mr. Young. Congratulations, I'm Bob Baffert, the trainer that you just ruined my life, you know? And I give him the shake, and I give him the secret handshake, and he's like, then he looks up at me, oh, wow! You know, I go, hey, Phi Alpha, you know, congrats.
That's great.
So later on, then we got to know each other.
Hey,
and he put a lot of money into the SAE house. He redid it and everything, and he said, yeah, you should do that with yours. Yeah, what am I going to do? I'm going to, here's $100. Go get some grapes.
Yeah. You know, buy a couple cases.
Yeah. Crazy, though.
Unbelievable. No, because you and Haskin both were convinced the Cavanier won. That talks about it. Yeah.
My deal with them. Oh, I got to go get ready for them. I'm
going to
do a little
presentation.
I got to go to the
trailer
interview there. And
that's right. You got the taping with
taping there.
CNBC.
So
yeah.
We give a little prep out here. Now you know what to say.
You're warmed up.
Yeah,
I'm warmed up.
You left the pony. You broke away from the pony.
You've got Paco.
Paco. Yeah, he's a backup.
Paco.
Do you have a Pinita Sharpie in case you need to sign something?
We were at the Derby.
How about the trainers?
The trainers, you know, trainers dinner used to be like the toughest ticket. It used to be good. Yeah. Chris Lincoln was there and all that stuff. So all of a sudden we're up there and, it was Paco Lopez. I mean, not Paco Lopez. So Paco,
he doesn't show.
Yeah. He doesn't show. And he goes, is Paco, we've got a free house. Is he in the building? And Bill goes, hey, Bill, go up there. He says, there he is.
But Chris,
you know, Chris, so here, Bill, you're fine. Hey, so get up here. So he goes up there and says,
oh,
so, Paco, tell us about your horse and
give him your accent. Yeah, no.
Let me tell you a story about this horse. He is frappissimo. He's going to come out of the gate. He's going to come to the first turn. He's going to take the mall by mistake. And he's going to come. He's going to run. And he wins.
And so there was people out there that were mad at me because they thought that I really was.
Oh, jeez.
Paco, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. I mean, we were so obnoxious. I went through a stage there, like people, we're just obnoxious sometimes. You know what? We brought a lot of, and it's funny, I would show up to a big race, and the reporters would come around and goes, hey, is Bill here? No, he didn't make it. He goes, oh, they looked so disappointed. They came up to the point, like, where's Bill? Because Bill was, you know, it was, we just had fun with it. We had fun. We let it roll with it. And so
$1 million.
Those were.
Do you remember Mammoth when we had the stand in, the cardboard cutout when you yes. Silver Bullet Day?
I mean, Mammoth Park. I love that place. No, it just it was a shame that it rained on Breeders' Cup because nobody got to enjoy it.
Yes,
didn't stop Midnight Loop.
It didn't stop Midnight Loop.
To enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm at Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals with spacious paddocks, expert staff.
Flies last, but we're early in the mix, so there's plenty left. So get it in. A picture of a sunset for the Santa Anita calendar to santaanitacalendar@yahoo.com.
And I think, I think we got to knock for a minute. We never had a chance to take a break today because...
took an hour break at the beginning of the show.
Well, 40 minutes we lost early on this morning. And but then Todd and Bob Baffert back to back because, of course, they're having this session this afternoon. Some of the other... And by the way, for those that were probably waiting... for the answer, and I feel bad that I caught Bob flat-footed a little bit. For those that didn't grow up around 4-H, head, heart, hands, and health is 4-H.
That's your final answer.
That's the only answer.
I would have thought horse would have been one of them, just because our horticulture or something. I didn't know. Growing up in the big city, we didn't. We had four H's, four other H's. I don't know what they were, but they weren't.
Well, but you know, there's plenty of agriculture
outside.
Yeah,
outside. Yeah. If you were, but if you don't grow up around animals, and you have, I don't, right? You're not really, as a kid, you're probably not inclined, less inclined to go, you know, do the fair thing and, you know, show a pig or a horse or, you know, bake a banana cream pie.
Oh, banana bread.
Banana bread.
Banana nut bread. The Bob Baffert banana nut bread. I think we're going to have to come up with they may have to market that. The 4-H, growing up in Connecticut, 4-H was the agricultural tie, the youth activity. Then later, when I got to upstate New York, to Colgate, and I worked for the Oneida Daily Dispatch, that was my first exposure to FFA, Future Farmers of America, which is sort of the other, you know, the other youth activity, you know, for, you know, for farming communities and the same, I mean, with, I assume basically the same principles and the same activities.
Sure. I'm trying to think the closest that we would come maybe would be the Pomona Fair, but we go to the fair to look at the pigs and the animals. We went to the fair to go to the racetrack. I mean, seriously,
yeah,
so I didn't
see the
do race. That.
Yeah.
And then when looking around for colleges the first round, San Luis Obispo, there's a Cal
sure.
State.
Cal Poly.
Cal Poly.
Yeah.
That would be the first, remember going around, and that was kind of an agricultural wing to it. So that was maybe my first even, and that's, you know.
Which is the Cal division that's the banana slugs?
That's Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
Yes.
Santa Cruz or Santa Barbara?
Santa Cruz. Yes,
banana
absolutely.
Slugs.
It was up there
that.
Not too long ago. Now that would have been a great school to go to. The school is in the Redwoods, literally, and the campus is phenomenal. Was up there about 2 years ago because they have a wing in their library that is dedicated to the Grateful Dead, and a bunch of relics and stuff up there. We had to go up and see that. It's fantastic. But no, the banana slugs, absolutely, and they're very proud of their name.
Were they always the banana slugs?
I believe so. No, I believe so.
That's hysterical.
I've been up there for years.
That's hysterical. because you know, there was certainly in the minor leagues in baseball, and not just minor league baseball, but minor league everything, there's this whole, you know, every franchise is renamed because of marketing purposes.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
You know, for the logos and for the...
I don't know if that's what you would choose if you're trying to market your school, so...
Eric Hamelbeck, well, you're pretty much.
I'm out of time.
Yeah, you're pretty much out of time. You got 2.5 minutes.
No worries. I'm just again honored to be here. Thanks for having me. It's great to see you. Great to see Rick. Great to see Dick Powell. So it's always great just to see folks here that you don't necessarily get to see throughout the year many times. And it's been a great conference. Really enjoyed seeing Mr. Sella speak. You know, the Arkansas HBPA, Mr. Sella. I mean, what a winning combination. It's been great for the industry. And it certainly proves when a horseman's group and a racetrack truly get together, a lot of success can come out for both sides, the track and the horseman.
I got to say it, of all the places that I've been and states that I've worked in, the relationship between the horseman and that racetrack is second
amazing.
To none.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, way back in 2017, I had a panel talking about success stories of, you know, racetracks that had a good working relationship with the horsemen. And again, that is a tried and true formula for success. I mean, you really look at when there's very little, and there's always going to be conflict, but there's very little conflict. And when there is conflict, they can all get together, push forward. But the Arkansas HBPA, in particular, President Walmsley, Judge Walmsley, you know, he's an amazing individual that, he knows how the General Assembly in Arkansas works, so he's been able to get a lot of good, positive things for the horsemen there.
And it's amazing when you work together. It's not like a boxing where they start out in separate corners, they meet in the middle. They start out in the same corner.
That's right. That's 100% right, Eric. I mean, it's a good success story for everybody. So, no, I'm happy to end the show because just listening to Bob, that's cool. It's always cool.
Give everybody, let everybody know... connections and horsemen and others about the convention. In fact, I was booking flights this morning and managed to lay it in, so give everybody the details.
Thank you. Yes, February 24th, which is a Monday, going to go through the 27th, but the actual conference panels will be the 25th and 26th. The Tampa Bay HBPA is hosting us once again. Everybody loves to come to Tampa, especially in the month of February. So it's going to be a little bit shorter than it has historically because we had our conference in July and then came back with an executive committee meeting during Claim and Crown, getting back to our normal spring kind of schedule. We're going to shorten it up, but it's going to be another great conference. And so our hope is, being at a new venue, it's not going to be in Clearwater.
Oh.
It's in, oh my gosh.
Safety Harbor.
Thank you.
Which is much closer to
it's
the
much
racetrack.
Closer to the racetrack.
I love Safety Harbor.
Yes, yeah, no, it's a great facility to work with
which,
so far.
Which property?
Hilton.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
What are the dates again?
25th, 26th.
Come in on the 24th, go to the cocktail reception that evening, and we'll conference and keynote speaker on the 25th and then 26th. And then we'll have a full board meeting for the HBPA board members on the 27th and then head home. I'm going to go to Ocala. Hadn't been to Ocala in a little while since I lived there. And then obviously, really going to try to set this conference up as a true benefit provider conference. We have had so many topics that we want to get out. So thanks for mentioning it. And
We'll do it again. We'll probably several times.
We'll be around.
Eric Hamelbeck to wrap it up, and Hammer, of course, Dick Powell for a little bit at the beginning, but principally Todd Pletcher and Bob Baffert, Marshall Graham as well, and Louis Sella that got us going, and we lost those 40 minutes, but we, I think, made up for it, and we'll be back tomorrow with plenty, we'll get some students in, and plenty more panel discussion, and more of the guests here at the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program Symposium on Racing, everybody, live in Tucson. Replay in the morning and live at 9. Talk to you then.
Specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thorough horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Just minutes from downtown Saratoga Springs, you'll find GMP Farm, a revolutionary state-of-the-art equine therapy and rehabilitation facility offering the most advanced equipment and knowledgeable staff to care for your equine athlete. From oxygen therapy and laser treatments to thermal imaging, dry salt room, and cryotherapy treatment, all alongside a 7/8 mile top of the training track, GMP Farm is revolutionizing equine care. To see a full list of services and book your horse's rejuvenation session, visit gmpfarm.net today.
Please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Hey, Brad, I think we've built a brand at this point.
It's excitement at every step.
Roses for Deborah just set a new track record.
On average, for the past decade, Pennsylvania paid over $28 million a year in breeders' awards, restricted races, and owner bonuses. Plus, PA Bred shine on the world's biggest stage. Just three states have bred more Breeders' Cup winners. Learn more at PABred.com.
The Remington Park Thoroughbred season is in the stretch run, heading to the final night of live racing on December 13th featuring the Springboard Mile. Racing starts at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. Then on Friday, December 13th, the Springboard Mile will wrap up the season as two-year-olds compete for qualifying points to next year's Kentucky Derby. The first race is at 5 p.m. on Springboard Mile night, Friday, December 13th. The Remington Park Casino always features jackpot play. Visit RemingtonPark.com for group rates, suite rentals, and more. Let your heart race at Remington Park.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.